Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nazir Daf Nun. We left off on Daf Nun Amar Alf. We're at the fourth line of the page, Va'adayon Yomar, on Daf Nun Amar Alf. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Li'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La'ashalom, also sponsored by Rina and Mark Goldstein, in memory of the 26th yard site of Rina's father, Mosefti, Moshe ben Harav Elazar Shmuel, Alav Shalom, Shem Shnav Aliyah. It is also sponsored by Simeon Moshe Kleinman, in memory of Moshe's grandmother, Fego Bas Mordechai Menachem, whose yard site was yesterday, in Shem Shnav Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. The first thing we're going to do is finish up the discussion that we started yesterday. If you recall, yesterday we learned that after Rabbi Meir died, Rabbi Yehuda told all of his Talmidim, I do not want any of the Talmidei Rabbi Meir in my Beis Medrash, but somehow Simchus snuck into the Beis Medrash, and Simchus right away started to teach a Mishnah that he heard from Rabbi Meir, and the Mishnah he heard from Meir said that when it comes to a Nazir being Megaleach, not only is a Nazir Megaleach on a Kezayis min Ameis, he's Megaleach on a Meis also. Al Ameis v'al Kezayis min Ameis. So Rabbi Yehuda said, you see, this is why I didn't want these people here. This is ridiculous. Obviously, he's Megaleach on a Meis Shalem. If he's Megaleach on a Kezayis min Ameis, then for sure he's Megaleach on a Meis Shalem. So yesterday we finished with Rabbi Yossi defending Rabbi Meir's version of the Mishnah, where it mentions Meis Shalem. Today we're going to have two other defenses of why you'd have to mention Meis Shalem if you already mention other parts of a Meis and say that a Nazir is even Megaleach on that. So of course he's Megaleach on a Meis Shalem. So a total of three ways to defend the Girsa of Rabbi Meir in his Mishnah. Then the Gemara is going to move on to defining the term Netzel. We said Netzel is Metame, that Netzel of a Meis is also something that a Nazir is Megaleach on. What exactly is Netzel? And does the din of Netzel apply not only to Tumas Meis, but to Tumas Nevela as well? Yesh Netzel Lebehema or a Netzel Lebehema? Do we have such a concept when it comes to Tumas Nevela of an unslaughtered animal? Then the Gemara is going to bring a Mishnah about Nitzok by Tumah. Nitzok means that if you have a liquid that combines, that is streaming from one kli to another, do we assume that they're considered to be all one unit and connected? Meaning, let's say I'm pouring something from a tahor kli into a tameh kli, and there's a steady stream going into the tameh kli, and then I stop pouring. So is the stuff in the tameh in the top kli tameh now because it was connected through that stream to the tameh kli? So that we're going to have a mishnah about nitzok by tuma, and the gemara, and we're going to have a shaila whether there's a concept of nitzok when it comes to ochlin, when you're pouring food from one place to another. Do we assume there's nitzok? How thick does the food have to be for there to be considered a nitzok that's mechaber the two items? Then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is just going to try to figure out the shear of melo tarvad rekev, because we had said one of the things that Nazir is megaleach on is a melo tarvad rekev. How much is a melo tarvad? So we're going to have two, maybe three possibilities of what a melo tarvad actually is. So let's begin. Again, we are four lines into the page at the word va'adayin. So what we had just learned was that Rabbi Meir's Talmud, Simchus, showed up to Rabbi Yehuda's Beis Medrash, and he said that, oh, Rabbi Meir taught us a Mishnah that tells us that a Nazir is Megaleach on a mace and on Kezayis min a mace. So Rabbi Yehuda got angry, and he said, this is why I told you I don't want to tell me to Rabbi Meir over here, because al Kezayis min a mace, Megaleach al a mace, lo kol shekein. You don't need to tell me a mace if you're even metame on Megaleach on a Kezayis min a mace. So Rabbi Yossi defended Rabbi Meir. He said, oh, Yomru Meir Shachav Yehuda Ka'as Yossi Shasak Torah Matei Aleha. There's a defense that has to be offered for Rabbi Meir. I have to speak up. So Rabbi Yossi said, Lo Nitzcha Ela L'mei She'enel of Kezayis Basar. What if you have an entire mace that doesn't have a Kezayis Basar? Then you can't derive that from Rabbi Yehuda's Kal V'chomer, and that's why Rabbi Meir has to have it as part of the Mishnah, that gets mentioned in the Mishnah. So it says, but Vadayin Yomer, still Rabbi Yehuda could ask that a mace that doesn't have a Kezayis Basar would be obvious also. It doesn't need to be mentioned in the Mishnah, because Al Eiver Mimena Megaleach, the halacha is that a Nazir is Megaleach on an Eiver Mina mace, even though an Eiver doesn't have a Kezayis Basar. Al Kula Lo Kol Shkein, so for sure, a mace Shalem, obviously a Nazir is Megaleach on. So instead of Rabbi Yehuda's original Kasha, that Al Kezayis Mina mace Megaleach, Just say the kal v'chomer in that way. But either way, Rabbi Yehuda still has a question that it's unnecessary to tell me that you're megaleach on a mace. Now, how do I know that an al-eiver mimenu megaleach, even though it doesn't have a kizayis basar, because the Mishnah, Maseches Alos, in the first parak, tells us that ha'evarim ein lam shir. When it comes to an eiver min ha'meis, there is no shir for an eiver min ha'meis. And even pachos mikazayis of a meis is metame betumas meis. That's what Tosus points out in Dibra Maschil Adayin over here. That's exactly what the point that the Gemara is trying to make. The Rabbeinu Peretz however says no, that the Kal V'Chomer is from the fact that it says in our Mishnah that an eiver min ha'meis is metame, even if it just has ma'at basar, it has just a tiny drop of basar, enough that if it were still attached to a body, the limb would be able to heal through that amount of basar. So if that amount of basar, which is pachas mikazayis, is enough to make it that an aver is mitame, so for sure a meis shalem is mitame. So in the Achron, in the Yedei David, he writes that even if you're going to say that by a meis that doesn't have any basar at all, we can learn it from a kal v'chomer that an aver sheishel of basar. That you can learn from a kolshkein of an aver sheishel of basar karaui, that even one aver that has just enough basar to make it live, if it were to heal, if it were attached to a body, so al meis shalem, I don't care whether it has exact basar, al meis shalem obviously is enough to heal if it were a body. It's a whole body. So lo kol shekein. So the difference between Tosfos understanding, Rabbeinu Peretz's understanding, is this kal v'chomer only does this kal v'chomer only work if the meis shalem has some basar, even pachos mikazayis. But either way, the Gemara is suggesting that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's still a kal v'chomer over here. So it doesn't make any sense to say meis shalem that a nazir is megaleach on a meis shalem. So that brings us to answer number two. Ella, when Rabbi Meir says that a nazir is megaleach on a meis, it's kada'amar Rabbi Yochanan. It's similar to Rabbi Yochanan, how Rabbi Yochanan explains a Mishnah in the second parak of Alos that it says over there. It talks about those items that are metame ba'oel, and on the list of items that are metame ba'oel in general, nothing to do with the nazir, just things that are metame ba'oel. It lists both mace and kezayis min ha-meis. And over there also Rabbi Yehuda could ask the question, wait a second, if a kezayis min ha-meis is metame ba'ol, then obviously a meis shalim is metame ba'ol. So in that context, about tumas ol in general, Rabbi Yochanan answered, lo nitzrucha elu l'nefel, that the reason it has to mention that a meis is metame ba'ol is to teach me that even a nefel, which is a shalonis kashru evar of begidin, that hasn't yet developed sinews that hold its limbs together, it's still metame. But Nefel at the beginning of its formation, even though it's entirely intact, it doesn't have gidim that hold it together. So since it doesn't have any Aver Shalem, because an Aver is always defined as basar, gidin, va'atzamos. If you don't have all three components, then it's not an Aver Shalem, and it doesn't have a kezayis basar, so it's not metame mishum Aver, because it doesn't fit the halacha criteria of an Aver. It's not metame mishum kezayis basar, because it doesn't have a kezayis basar, yet it's still metame, because it's a meis shalem. So you see, you have such a concept of a meis shalem that is not an Aver, nor is it a kezayis basar. So Achanami over here also, when Rabbi Meir says that in Nazir is Mekalea Chalameis, what's the chiddush? I already know nazir is megaleach on an aver min ha-meis. I already know nazir is megaleach on a kezayis. The same thing Rabbi Yochanan said. You can have a meis that is neither an aver nor has a kezayis basar. B'nefel shalom niskash reivar of begidin. If you're talking about a nefel that is totally undeveloped, that doesn't yet have any gidin, and therefore is not considered to be an aver. A third possible answer. Rava Amar. Rava comes along and suggests, at least that's the girsa of the rush over here, that it's Rava Amar as opposed to Yesh Svarim that are Gores the opposite, not Rava Amar but Kida Amar Rava. And the Rosh says according to that here, so Rabbi Yochanan and Rava are both commenting on the Mishnah in Alos that just talks about Tumas Ohel in general. But the Rosh says that Girsa makes no sense, because in Alos over there it says explicitly in the Mishnah that a Rova Atzamos, Merov Binyan, and Merov Minyan is Metame Ba'ohel. And Rava's answer wouldn't make sense sense if you're commenting on a Mishnah that explicitly talks about Rav Minyan, Rav Binyan. Why? Because Rav's answer is the following. Lo mitzrucha ella l'Rav Binyano. L'Rav Binyano, when it says Meis Shalem, it's alluding to Rav Minyan or Rav Binyan of Atzamos of a Meis. That ain't a chinami. A Meis Shalem is obvious that it's Mitameh. But when it says, when our Mishnah says, or when Rabbi Meir's version of our Mishnah, which happens to be our version also, of our Mishnah says that a Nazir is Megaleach on a Meis, he's referring to Rav Binyan and Rav Minyan of Atzamos. So that's what the Rosh is saying. It can't be that Rav is commenting on the Mishnah and Olos, because Mishnah and Olos says that what's Mitameh Ba'ol? A Meis, a Kazayis min a Meis, an Aver min a Meis, Rav Minyan and Rav Binyan of Atzamos. So the word Meis in the Mishnah and Olos can't be referring to Rav Minyan, Rav Binyan of Atzamos, because that already says explicitly in that Mishnah. But so Rav Amar is going on our Mishnah, that our Mishnah, which didn't mention Rav Binyan and Rav Minyan of Atzamos explicitly. So that's what Meis is referring to. Shein behen rova atzamos, where it doesn't have a rova of a kav of atzamos, but nevertheless it's metame like a meis shalem, and that's when a nazir is megaleachan. So that closes off the conversation from yesterday, right, where Sumcha showed up and he said that there's a Mishnah that tells me that a nazir is megaleachan a meis and a kazayis min a meis, and Rabbi Yehuda said, what are you talking about? Obviously if it's metame and a kazayis, if he's megaleachan a kazayis min a meis, he's megaleachan a meis shalem. So we had three answers. Answer number one is that meis tells me if there's no Kazayis Basar. Answer number two is that Mace tells me if there's no Gidin. And answer number three is that Mace refers to Rav Minyan or Rav Binyan of Atzamos. So now we go on. So the Mishnah had said that a Nazir is also Megaleach al Kazayis Mace val Kazayis Neitzel. So what's Neitzel? It's the moisture that comes out from the flesh of the Mace. So if a Nazir is Metame himself to that, he's going to be Megaleach. But other types of liquids that emerge from the dead body, saliva or mucus or things like that, they don't have a din of netzel. So the Gemara discusses what is netzel exactly. So Tanu Rabbanan, we have a brisa that says the following. That's one of the girsos, at least, is Tanu Rabbanan. Vezu netzel, what exactly is netzel that's metame ba'ohel? Basar ha-meis shekarash, if you have flesh of the body that has become rotted, and therefore it starts to liquefy, and then umo'ol shertiach, and not only that, umo'ol shertiach, if you heat up that moisture that comes out of a mace and it starts boiling, so I mean it starts bubbling, so that's netzel, even though it didn't congeal on its own, a kazayis of that is metame ba'ohel. So nazir is megaleach on that. So if you have basar meis that melts and congeals, and you have moel shir tiach, that you have if you heat up the lecha that comes out, that it bubbles. So the Gemara explains, why do I need those tanayim for netzel? Hechidami, what exactly is the Braisa talking about? That only if the nozzle meets those simanim, that it's karash or hirtiach, only then is it considered netzel. Only then do you assume that it comes from the basar of the mace and it's metame. Because if you're talking about that you have some substance of that you're not sure if it came from the basar or mace, or maybe it came from other liquids that came out of the mace and is not initially from the basar or mace, so ki karash mayhavi. Why does it matter that it's karash? What does that do? That doesn't solve the suffix. We still have to be choshish that maybe it comes from the other liquids of the dead body. So how could the nazir be mekaleach on such a suffix tuma? That's how the Russian Tosfos understand the question, that he can't bring a nazir can't be megaleach on such a thing because it would be a suffek. You certainly can't bring a karban on such a suffek. And the Mishnah says that someone who's metame to a netzel is megaleach and he's maybe karban. So how could you do it if you don't even know that this necessarily comes from the basar meis? The whole thing's only a suffek. So the Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis Perek Beis writes that suffek netzel zeinu metame. So kikarish mehavi is not only on how can you be megaleach and how can you bring karbanos. According to the Rambam, something nitzel is even a mitame. So it's even a question of how can you say that it's mitame misafik? According to the Rambam, it wouldn't even be mitame. So if we're talking about a case where you don't even know what the origin of this substance is, of this matter is, so then there's no way that a nazir would be megaleach in it. The fact that it's mala vabuas, the fact that it starts boiling, bubbling when you heat it up, or the fact that it's karush, doesn't really solve the issue. Ella must be diadina didehu, that you know that this matter that you have in front of you comes from the basar of a mace. Well, then have a cup to low karash. Well, then why do you need any of these simanim? Why do you need to see that it will boil, bubble up when you boil it, or that it will be karash, it will liquefy and congeal? Why do you need any of that? You know what it is. You know that it's from the basar of the mace. Some Rabbi Yirmiyahu b'stam, that we're talking about where we know it comes from the mace, but we don't know if it's from the basar or it's from other moisture in the body. And these simanim will help us determine where it's from. Ikarash moel hu, if it in fact congeals, then you know that it's really from the basar, and that's netzel, that the nazir is megaleachan, but lo karash, dil makicha v'niyohu. But if it's not karash, then you have to suspect that maybe that's just saliva or mucus or something else, that a nazir would not be megaleachan. That's the simple reading of the way Tosos and the Rush read our Gemara. It would turn out that the Rabbi Yirmiyah and the Makshan are just disagreeing in Metzius, right? Meaning the way we read the question is, I don't understand. If you don't know where it came from, these simanim don't help you. And the answer is yes, they do. Because if you don't know where it came from, only basar min ames will react in this way. Only the basar will actually boil up. Only the basar will actually congeal and liquefy and congeal in a certain way. But other types of fluids that come from the body will not react in that way. So it's a change. The change from the question to the answer is really a change in metzius, the way many of the Rishonim understand this conversation. Okay, so once the Gemara talks about netzel from flesh of a person, the Gemara says, well, does netzel apply to other types of tumah? What about tumas nevela of an animal? So Abaye may Rabba. Abaye asked Rabba the following shayla. Yesh netzel lebehema is a kazayis basar of a nevela that rots and disintegrates until it becomes liquefied. Is that metame b'ma masa like a nevela is mitame b'magu masa? The halacha is someone who touches or carries basar nevela is mitame tumas erev, that he's tame until the evening, and Tos points out that over here it's not about kilua chanazir. I mean, over here we're no longer on the discussion of a nazir, because a nazir could be mitame himself to a nevela. It doesn't affect his nazirus one bit. A nazir is not allowed to be mitame to a mace. So this has nothing to do with nazir. This is just once you're talking about this concept of basar becoming netzel and it's still having the impact of the tumah. So does that same concept apply to tumas nevela? So b'ayim rabbi yesh netzel behema or ein netzel behema? Do we have this concept of netzel when it comes to behema? Mi amrin and kigam mi read that when do we have halach l'moshe misinai that netzel is considered to be basar and it's metame netzel dasi me'adam? That only if netzel comes from the flesh of a person. Avul da'asi mi behema, but maybe netzel that comes from basar of a behema, lo, maybe there is no such halacha l'moshe misinai, and therefore it's not, it doesn't have a din like basar, and it's not metame kinevela, odilma loshna, or maybe we're not mechalek at all, that since there's halacha l'moshe misinai by basar adam, that netzel has a din of a basar, so maybe who a din? When it comes to basar of a behema, the netzel of basar of a behema will have a din of basar behema, and if it happens to be a nevela, so we'll have a full din of nevela. Shittum betzes quotes Rabbeinu Azriel, that the whole suffix is that by Adam, Nesel is considered by like Basar only from a halachah Moshe Misinai. That's why we have a suffix. But if it were Midin Torah, if it were a regular din that's derived from the Midrash HaTorah and Drash Ben, then we'd have no suffix. Then of course it would apply to a behema. You see, when things are derived in the normal way from either direct Pesukim or the Midrash HaTorah and Drash Ben that are derived from the Pesukim, then we say, Memetzinu, Binyanav, you compare one to the other, and you would imagine that the same, that the whatever din we learn from the Torah is setting a rule that could apply elsewhere. But says Rabbeinu Israel, since this is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, so the question is, the scope of the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. Is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai teaching me a metzius, that basar that that decomposes or disintegrates in this way is still basar, and that's just a rule about basar, or is this a din in Tumas Meis, that when it comes to Tumas Meis, there's a din, that even the netzel of basar has the din of basar, but it's got nothing to do with Tumas Nevela. So that is the Shaila of the Gemara. So the Gemara says that this Safek is telling the Machlokas Amoraim that we have in Meseches Bechoros. And the Machlokas relates to until what point is a Nevela Metame Tuma Chamura. What exactly does that mean? So the Sugyum Bechoros Tav Chav Gimel tells us that a behemoth, while it's alive, if it becomes disgusting and not Roy L'Achila, everyone would be moda that as soon as it dies, it doesn't have a Shem Nevela, and it's not Metame at all. A behemoth that only is Masriach after it dies, it only spoils after it dies, but it spoils to the point that it's not even Roy L'Achilas Kelev, also is certainly not a nevela anymore. But there is a machlokas amurayim between Rabbi Yochanan and Bar Pada, if at the time that an animal died, it was ro'i la'achilas adam, so an animal didn't have shechita, dropped dead, or you hunted it, or whatever, and it was ro'i la'achilas adam, and then it spoiled to the point where it's no longer ro'i la'achilas adam, but it's still Roy L'Achilas Kelev, so it's in that window in between Roy L'Achilas Adam and Roy L'Achilas Kelev. So Rabbi Yochanan says, so long as it's still Roy L'Achilas Kelev, it's called that's considered Achila, and therefore it has regular Tumas Nevela of Maga Umasa, that if you touch it or if you carry it, it's Metame like a Nevela. Where Bar Pada holds that no, once it's no longer Roy L'Achilas Adam, it's not called Nevela. So long as it's L'Achilas Kelev, it may not be Metami Tumah Chamura like a Nevela, but it's Metami Tumah Kala. It's Metami some other form of Tumah. What exactly does that mean? So that's Machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Rashi writes that Tumah Chamura means Tumas Masa, Tumah Kala means Tumas Maga. Whereas Tosos says, no, any Tumas Nevela, Maga, Masa, all of that is Tumah Chamura. When, according to Bar Pada, when it's Nifsal Me'achilas Adam, it's not Metami either of those, so not Tumas Maga, not Tumas Masa, it's no longer Nevela. It's just that up until it gets to the point of Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev, it's still Metame to Makala, meaning that a kebetza of a nevela is Metame Ochlin Umashkin. So that's how Tosus understands. So we're going to read this Gemara the way Tosus understands. That again, you have this Machlokas, what if when the animal died it was Rai L'Achila, now it's no longer Rai L'Achila, but it's still Rai L'Achilas Kelev, does it have the din of Tumas Nevela? Is it still going to have the din of Tumas Nevela? So Hani, Chlamad Yomar Tumach Chamura, if you assume like Bar Pada that Basar Nevela is Metame Tuma Chamura, that it could still be Metame B'Mago U'B'Masa Ad L'Ger, and that continues until so long as it's still Ra'i L'Achilas Ger, meaning so long as it's still Ra'i L'Achilas Adam, but once it's not Ra'i L'Achilas Adam, it's no longer called Nevela, and it's not Metame B'Mago or B'Masa at all, V'Tumakala Ad L'Kelev, and it's Metame Tumakala, that Ashir Kebetz of it is Metame Ochlim U'Mashkim, even though it's no longer Roy L'Achilas Adam, until it becomes no longer Roy L'Achilas Kelev, so then Shapir, then there's no suffix about Netzel of the Behema, because Netzel comes from Basar that has spoiled and is no longer Roy L'Achilas Adam, so of course it's not going to be Metame Tumah Chamura. Meaning, according to Bar Pada, that once something is not Roy L'Achilas Adam, it's no longer Tame Tumah Chamura, it's only Tame Tumah Kala, so of course Netzel is not going to have a din of Basar Nevela, because Netzel is not Roy L'Achilas Adam. So it's not going to have a din of Basar Nevela. That's obvious. El Mandi Amar, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, says that Tumah Chamura ad LaKelev, that up until it gets to the point where it's not Roy L'Achilas Kelev, it's still a real Nevela. It's still Metame Tumah Chamura. It's still Metame B'Mago B'Masa. Well, then, Ma'ikal Meimar, then what would you say about Netzel? Is Netzel considered like Basar of Behema, that a Kazayas of it is Metame B'Mago B'Masa? Or do you say, no, only Basar of Behema is Metame, but once it becomes Netzel, once it becomes this other matter, it's decomposed into this other matter called Netzel, maybe it no longer has a status of Tumas Nevela. So the whole Shaila is only Lefi Shitas Rabbi Yochanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that after something has gotten to the point where it's no longer Roy L'Achilas Adam, it could still be Nevela. Yeah, but that's when it's Basar. What about if it's if the physical matter has turned into Netzel? Would you still say it has a status of Nevela? Or would you say that, no, once it's changed into Netzel, it no longer has a status of Nevela? So says Gemara, let's bring a Raya. Tashema. We'll bring a Raya from Brisa that talks about the fats of a Nevelas of Tahar. Halacha is a Nevelas of Tahar. If you have a kosher bird, a kosher species that you didn't shech, that just killed or died or whatever, and you eat the meat, so it's metame bebeis hablia. When you eat it, it's metame as it goes down. So imchu bu'ur, let's say you take the fats of such a bird and you liquefy it with fire. So tame, it's metame bebeis hablia, like a nevelas of tahar would be metame bebeis hablia, even when it's liquefied. It's metame bebeis hablia because it doesn't become nifsal me'achilas adam when you liquefy it. But pechama, but if it gets liquefied in the sun, then tahar. Then we assume that it spoils when it liquefies in the sun. When you put it on the stovetop and you liquefy it, so it's still edible, so it's still metame. But when it liquefies in the sun, we assume it's spoiling, it's not roi l'achilas adam, and therefore it loses its shem tumah. Ooh, v'yisal kadai t'chdiyesh netzel behema. If you can assume that netzel of a behema has a din of basar, and it's metame tumah chamura ad l'kelev, until it gets to the point where even a kelev wouldn't eat it, so nevelas of tahar should be metame until it becomes nifsal me'achilas kelev. Then afilu b'chamenami, then even if it liquefied in the sun, it should still be metame, because when you liquefy it in the sun, we assume it's not roi l'achilas adam, but it's still roi l'achilas kelev. So if you can assume that ad l'achilas kelev, that up until it gets to a point of not roi l'achilas kelev, it's still metame, so when you liquefy it in the sun, it should also be metame. So from the fact that it says in the Mishnah that when you liquefy it in the sun, it's tahar, we see that ein netzel behema. So the Gemara rejects the raya. The reason that if you liquefy it in the sun, it's tahar, is emes kamachle, when is the sun is going to liquefy this fat, basar da asruach b'chama, only after it's really dried out a lot by the sun, kivdisra chavle afar. And once it's really dried out by the sun, it turns into afar, which is not even roi l'achilas kelev, meaning our assumption was wrong. We assume that if you liquefy it in the sun, it becomes not roi l'achilas adam, but it's still roi l'achilas kelev. Says Gemara, no, when you liquefy it in the sun, it's not even roi l'achilas kelev. And that's why it loses its tumah capacity, not only because it's not roi l'achilas adam, but because it got worse than that. It's not even roi l'achilas kelev. So now the Gemara is going to shift the conversation to a new topic called nitzok. There is a Mishnah in Meseches Taros that talks about nitzok. Nitzok is a steady stream that goes from an upper kli to a lower kli, that it's not a chibur. The Mishnah says that it doesn't connect for hilchos tumah. I mean, if you pour a liquid, tahar liquid, into a tameh kli, or even you pour tahar liquid over a sheretz, so if you were to catch the liquid mid-air before it hits the sheretz, or before it hits the tameh kli, that liquid is tahar. And certainly the liquid that's still in the upper kli is tahar, because nitzok is not a chibur l'tumah. Even though there's a stream going from the upper tahar kli down to the tameh kli, so you might think that connects it all and everything, that all the liquid is tameh. Not true. Only that which already landed in the tameh kli is tameh. If you were to catch anything before it lands in the tameh kli, it is not tameh. So now the Gemara brings a Mishnah that talks about halachos for which nitzok is a chibur. So tanan hasam kala nitzok tahar. The Mishnah says in Maseches Machshirin, any mashke that is nitzok that you pour from above to below to something tameh is tahar. The stream does not attach the upper kli to the lower kli. So whatever remains in the upper kli is still going to be tahar chutz midvash hazifim vatzapichas, except for the honey that's very thick, that they have to add water to liquefy it, and sapichas, which is the honey that they take off of the honeycombs that's mixed with the beeswax. So so it's very, very thick. So if you pour that kind of dvash into a kli that has tumah in it, then the nitzok is metame. Then it's so thick, we consider that to be a real connection, and the stream from one to the other is considered to be metame, even the stuff in the upper part. So the Mishnah brings another shita that says that no, beishamei omrim af hamikvah shel gris and shel pul. Not only this very, very thick honey, even if you have a chalent, you have a porridge of beans or things like that, so it's a thick enough food that also will be a chibur through nitzok, through a pouring stream, because since it's very thick, when you stop pouring it, some of what's already poured out pulls back into the top kli, and therefore that nitzok is considered to be a real chibur. So it's as if the stuff in the top kli is touching the mashke tameim in the bottom kli. But according to the Tanakhama, no, a mikvah porridge, that's not going to be metame. It's only when you have this very thick honey. So the Gemara is going to explain what the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Beis Shammai is all about. But first the Gemara wants to understand, why is it by this very thick honey that the nitzok is mechaber, that the stream is mechaber, what's in the upper kli to the lower kli? So bayi bar chama, yesh nitzok la'ochlin, do we assume that there's a din of nitzok when it comes to ochlin? If you liquefy ochlin to the point where it could pour from one to the other, does the nitzok connect that which is in the lower kli to the upper kli? Oh, ain't nitzok la'ochlin, or maybe no, it doesn't create any sort of chibur, and the food that's in the upper kli are not metame from the food that's in the bottom kli. So what are the tzadim of the safek? Mi amrinan, do we assume that the reason the chachamim say that there's nitzok by this very thick honey is mishum diispurire, is because it's very sticky, it's like a glue, and when you stop pouring it, it pulls back, and therefore it's like it's similar to a food that would be considered nitzok as well. Vahani less burire, but if you have fat that's been liquefied, so then it doesn't have that same characteristic, and therefore it should not create a nitzok. Oh, Dilmor, maybe the basis of the chacham when it came to that very thick honey and why it has nitzok is mishum desmichenhu, is just because it's very thick, and it has nothing to do with the fact that it pulls back, that when you stop pouring, that which is already out of the kli sort of like a vacuum kli, like it comes back, it draws back to the top kli. No, it's just about the thickness of it. So So by food also you can have some very thick food that pours from one kli to another, even though it doesn't pull back, but it has a certain thickness to it. So if we understand why the chachamim hold that there's nitzok by dvash, we'll be able to understand whether that same thing can apply to ochlin or not. If it's about its ability to pull back, so ochlin doesn't have that ability. But if it's just about the general thickness, ochlin does have that same general thickness. So it says, well, let's try to bring two rayas. Raya number one, Amar Rava Toshima. We have a Tosefta. Chelev hames. If you have chelev of a dead body that's metame like basar hames, shu shalem, which is a full kezayis, v'iticho, and then you boil it on the fire and you liquefy it, so tame, it's tame like the original chelev, because it's still a kezayis all in one spot. But hayim meforad, if it broke down into different pieces where you don't have a kezayis in one spot, it's only betziruf of all of them together would be kezayis, v'iticho, and then you boil it up. So now it becomes one unit again, tahar. Then the chelev is tahar. Because prior to you liquefying it, if you would touch some of it, you'd be tahar, because you didn't touch a kezayis shalim, since there is no kezayis shalim in one spot. So even though now that you've boiled it up and it's become one unit again, it's still going to be tahar, because any chibur that's nasali de adam is not considered a chibur. That chibur of a kezayis is only something that you made. It's not something that Hashem made. It's not a real chibur. But if you can assume that nitzok is not a chibur for ochlin, so even if you had a kezayis chelev, shalim v'iticho nami litahar, even if it was a kezayis shalim that you were matiach, it should still be tahar, because at the time that you put it on the fire, it has to, one drop at least is going to pop out, you know, from the rest of the kezayis, from the boiling, and that's not going to be a kezayis in one spot. So if nitzok is not a chibur, so then that tipa is not mechubur to the rest of the chelev, and then when you finish and it joins back as a kezayis, we should say that was bidei adam, that's not something that happened on its own. So it must be that when you start boiling it, even though some of it will start streaming away, but that's okay, nitzok is a chibur. So you see a raya that nitzok is a chibur. So it says Gemara Amar Bizera, Ano Mar Breid Ravina Targimna Hach Ma'eskinon Kigoma Debahadi Demratechle Solik Amud Lepume Demona Vekarash Di Isekula Gabe Adadi. Then now we're talking about a metzius where when you started boiling building it up. No part ever streamed away from it. It never relied on Nitzok. It all went to the top of the Kli as a single unit, where all of the Chelev was Beshlemus in one area. So since it congealed all at one time, it has a din of a Kazayis Chelev that was Mechubar from the very beginning. So certainly, if not even a Tipa left it, so you're not relying on Nitzok. The reason it's Metame is because it's Metame. It was always a Kazayis Shalem. So Ravina brings another Raya. Again, we're trying to figure out the suffix of Rami Bar Chama. Is there Nitzok by Ochlin? So it says Gemara, maybe we could bring a Raya from Beis Shammai's point of view. Beis Shammai disagreed with the Chachamim, and so Amar Li Ravina Ravashi, Toshima, will bring a Raya to be poshet the suffix of whether there's Nitzok by Ochlin from Beis Shammai Shita. Because Beis Shammai Omrim, Af Hamik Vishal Grisin Vishal Pul, that if you have a porridge of beans which is not thick nor is it very liquefied, so the nitzok is metame mipnei shein soldin la'achareihen, because when you stop pouring the mikveh and there are certain pieces that go back up into the kli, and therefore it's considered like the two things are connected to each other. So it's mistaver that's the basis of the Tanakhama as well, that the reason the dvash, the very thick honey, is considered to be attached through the nitzok is because it has this characteristic that it's chozer l'achareihem, that it goes backwards. So then we could be poshet the suffix of Rami Bar Chama, that other ochlim that's not chozer l'achareihem, nitzok is not going to be mechaber. So what's the machlokes b'shamay and tanakama then? If everyone holds that the characteristic that defines whether there's nitzok is when you stop pouring, does it come back? Does it come back up to the kli? What are the b'shamay disagreeing with the tanakama about? So apparently, when it comes to chalent or to this porridge, it comes back a little bit. So the question is that enough? Meaning, it definitely, the characteristic of being pulled back is definitely the characteristic we're looking for Nitzok to happen. Tanakama holds that has to happen in a large measure. That has to happen in a significant way. And Beis Shammai is a little more loose with the definition of what's called pulling back. But everyone would agree that if it's a regular ochel, where when you stop pouring it, it doesn't pull back at all, everyone would agree that that's not a Nitzok. So says Mar, is that really such a raya? Midi iria. You can tell based on what Beis Shammai Shita is, what the Tanakama is based on? No, it could be that when it came to the Tanakama with the honey, the reason that the honey was a Nitzok was just because it's very thick, and therefore food that's very thick would also be a Nitzok. And Beis Shammai is of the opinion that what defines Nitzok is not the thickness of it, but rather when you stop pouring, whether it pulls back into the top kli. So you can't bring a raya whatsoever. There's no raya at all from the Shita of the Beis Shammai. So again, the Gemara had the Shaila. Do we assume Nitzok by Ochlin or do we not assume Nitzok by Ochlin? We thought we had two Rayas. Each Raya was rejected. So in the end of the day, we don't have a real answer. Now the Gemara moves on to, we had said that a Melo Tarvad Rekev, one of the types of Tumah that a Nazir is Megaleachan, is a Melo Tarvad of Rekev. So says Gemara, what does Melo Tarvad mean? Kamashira, Melo Tarvad means a spoonful. But you open up your kitchen drawer, you'll find many different size spoons. There are teaspoons, and there are soup spoons, and there are serving spoons. What exactly is a Melo Tarvad? What is a ladleful? What is a spoonful? So Chizkia Amar Melot Pisas Hayad. It's the what could fill up the palm of your hand. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Melot Chafnav. No, it's what could fill up your entire hand, including your fingers, not just the palm of your hand. So Tanan, we have a brisa that tries to define Melot Tarvad Rekev, and it says Melot Tarvad Rekev Shamru Yeshon Meikar Et Baos. It's from the place where your fingers attach to your palm. Ulamaila, and upward, Divrei Rabbi Meir. The Chum Mormon Melo Chafnav, and the Chum say no, it means your whole handful. Well, what does it mean from where your fingers attach Ulamaila? Probably means from where your fingers attach to the end of your fingers. So the two opinions that appear in the Mishnah are only the fingers or the entire hand. But wait a second, we just had a machlokes. Is it only the palm or the entire hand? No one had said only the fingers. So says Gemara, wait a second, Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan, I understand Rabbi Yochanan's point of view, who damar k'rabanan. He said it's the whole handful, and that's exactly the sheet of the Rabbanan that we just saw in the Mishnah. But El Chizkia, who said that it's only a palmful, Kiman, he's not following either Tana. Lo k'rabi Meir, it's not following a Meir holds, it's only the fingers full, velo k'rabanan, nor is it following the Rabbanan that holds it's got to be a whole handful. Where do we find the Tana that holds a palmful is a Melot Tarvad Rekev? So Amri, Gemara has two answers. Answer number one, Melo Pisa Sayad, Umelo Kishrei Tzvos of the Maila, Chad Shiruhu. A palmful and fingers full are the same amount. It's just two ways of expressing the same shear. It happens to be the Metzius is, whatever you could hold in your fingers, you could hold in your palm. That's the same amount anyway. So that's a Melo Tarfut. Or, Amalei Rasim Barad al Rav Papa, Mimai Dahai Mikishrei Tzvos of Ulemaila Larosh, Dilma Lamata Midiade, Tavale Melo Pisa Sayad. How do you know that when we say, from where the fingers attached to the palm, ulamaila means to the end of the fingers. Maybe from where the fingers attached to the palm, ulamaila means closer to the body. It all depends. Are you holding your hand like this or are you holding your hand like that? Right? So in a natural position as you're walking, so lamaila would be closer to your body. If you're holding your hands up, lamaila would not be closer to the body. So there's a girsa over here that says teku. So Tosus points out, you can't be goris teku because we didn't ask a shayla. Right? Meaning we were just discussing what the shear of melot tavrid rekav is. That's how Golos HaGro also takes it out. Rabbeinu Peretz says, no. The word teku just means let it stand. So he says the reason the word teku l'chora doesn't make sense is because there's no shaila to leave with the teku. But the Gemara is just bringing a teretz to the kasha the Chizkiya asked. So he says if you're goris the word teku, it could just mean that teku just means that this teretz is such a stark a teretz that it should stand, because that's all the word teku really means. That something should remain standing. So this teretz is such a good teretz, teku, let it stand. So that would then you'd have to put that on the list of these strange lashonos that you have in Nazir that you don't have throughout the rest of Shas. Okay, Bezim, tomorrow we'll pick up Nun Aleph and Aleph at the time.